Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Show, and then the Browns superstar Myles Garrett goes public with a trade request at a position of need with Detroit with enough cap space to make it happen. Question is, what would the price be? Would he demand a new contract? Would he not demand a new contract for a chance to come play for a Super Bowl contender here in Detroit? 248-539-9797. In the meantime, Gator, there is already a list of potential suitors.
Right. Well, take this for what it's worth, because it's from USA Today, which has kind of changed in terms of how reputable they are these days. But they have a list of 6 teams that would be potential landing spots for Myles Garrett if the Browns were to trade him. Now, it does not include return for the trade. It just says these are teams that would be very interested.
Are they listed just here are 6, or are they listed in possible
It's descending order. So starting with 6, going down to 1.
Of the most likely landing spots?
I'm going to guess that's how it is, because it actually has a number to it rather than just the name of the team.
Okay.
So coming in at 6, in the NFC North Division, the Green Bay Packers.
Mm-hmm. I'd hate that.
They were 26 in pass rush win rate last year, so that would drastically improve if they had Myles Garrett. Number 5, the Los Angeles Rams. Now, this doesn't seem to make sense to me, because the Rams have already significantly rebuilt that defensive line, but there you go. It says how unfair it would be for the Rams to lose Aaron Donald to retirement only to land Myles Garrett a couple years later. Yeah, there you go. They've got Jared Verse there along with Fisk and some others on the defensive line. It looks pretty good. Number 4, staying in Los Angeles, the Chargers. Jim Harbaugh got the Chargers back in the playoffs. Now the real work begins. How about replacing Khalil Mack with Myles Garrett? Number 3, the Washington Commanders. Commanders might have the widest championship window in the NFL thanks to having the best young quarterback. That defense needs some help, though. Number 2, in the NFC North, the Detroit Lions. Sure, the Lions have Aiden Hutchinson returning, but they were always thin on pass rushers opposite him. Can you imagine Hutchinson and Garrett on the same team? Yikes.
Yikes indeed.
Sounds like something I would write. And number 1, in the AFC, the Buffalo Bills.
Really?
Josh Allen can only carry the Bills so far in his own. They become a lot scarier if they get an equal game breaker on defensive side of the ball like Garrett, which I would agree with that.
It's funny, because every single team that you mentioned was not Detroit. I had the same thought. Oh, God, not them.
Right.
Like, if he goes to any of those teams become extraordinarily legitimate in terms of Super Bowl contention.
I could give you 24 more teams and we'd probably say the same
probably.
Thing.
Probably. There are,
that's
there are
how
ones,
good he is.
There are ones that his addition would be scarier than others. Let's just say this. Are you confident that Brad Holmes will investigate this?
Mm-hmm.
I'm very confident that Brad Holmes will investigate this.
That's
Kang, are you confident that Brad Holmes will investigate this?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, it may be lukewarm, but I think he has to test the waters and just see where they're at, right?
Yep.
He has to get hung up on. That's okay.
Yep. Make the call.
Yep.
It's funny, because somebody on Twitch made a comment that, you know, this is, you know, pretty complex, and they got players that are about to get paid, blah, blah, blah. And I said, yeah, you're probably more right than wrong. And his response was, that being said, getting Luka was once a pipe dream. So there's that.
Mm.
Yes. The Luka trade is the greatest example in recent memory, which is why you always call.
Honestly, always call. This news is coming out the day, you know, the day or two after the Luka trade. That's how I'm operating almost in every trade scenario now. Like, it seems crazy, but is it? Because there's like three untouchables in the NBA. It's like Luka, or was Luka, Wemby, and Bronny James. Like, that's it, right? Everyone else is tradable. Unless Dad says you got to go.
That's right.
Got to go.
Yeah.
Let's get back to your phone calls in a moment. We did say we'd get to some Tiger stuff. We talked about Flaherty signing. So the ripple effect of Flaherty signing. Does this make Alex Bregman more likely to sign in Detroit? Does this make Detroit more attractive to Alex Bregman? Because...
Would a football team making a move?
No, Flaherty.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm Flaherty signing in Detroit make it more likely that Alex Bregman signs in Detroit? Because he's got to look at this and say, okay, I can contend there. I can contend there. I can go back to Houston.
And contend in Houston.
But Detroit, last year, a on paper weaker Detroit team beat Houston. Given short series, anything can happen. But they did beat Houston. So, you know, does it make Detroit a more attractive landing spot? I mean, it can't hurt.
It has to make it more attractive, but ultimately I think it's money. It's the contract. It's whether that's his ego or Scott Boras's ego. It's about the money in the contract. It has to be better than the $156 million offer that he's been made by the Houston Astros for over 6 years. The offer just has to be better than that. And if it is, and it has to be appreciated, like, I don't think you get them for $160 million. Hey, we outbid you by four. I think it has to be significant. So are the Tigers willing to step up and do that? Maybe they already have. And maybe this is just decision time for Bregman. Hey, what are you doing, man? You got, let's just say, $175 million on the table. Are you taking it or not? We just signed Jack Flaherty. We can't go any higher than this. Okay, we've already overextended ourselves, but we really think that you're a missing piece. This is our last and best offer.
Dude, I have been lukewarm to Bregman on the term, but the idea of adding Bregman to this roster, do they become the favorite in the American League Central?
Yes. They might be the favorite now by bringing Flaherty here.
Dude, this is, and
we forget about Gleyber Torres. That his addition is here.
I like
Torres. And how that's shifted things around, and that, okay, now you've got Colt Keith playing first base, and now Spencer Torkelson is playing for his career.
Which might be a great Spencer Torkelson, by the way.
Could be.
248-539-9797. More to get into with that, and we'll take your phone calls and feedback. Flaherty signs with Detroit. Bregman. Dude, it's get on board or move on, right? You've got a chance here to come to Detroit, make a great paycheck, and be a playoff team. You know, they don't, I don't know that they need to beg Bregman anymore. Like, you're not signing on with a has-been team. This is a team that's going to contend. And you could be the guy that puts them over the top. Keaton, you're next on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Keaton.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
All right.
I was calling because it's, right now, it's kind of annoying that Myles Garrett's requesting a trade when we just went to Cleveland asking what players were available. Obviously, Cleveland's not the person that's, trying to get Garrett out. But why, it's just annoying that now he's saying, okay, I want to be out of Cleveland. Because imagine what could have happened if we traded, for him during the trade deadline. But I just also wanted to say, I feel like now's the perfect time to be trading away our first. We're going to be at the end of the first round anyways, like 26, 27, somewhere around there. And our second rounders obviously are going to be low too, but like if you take a fourth rounder or fifth rounder and combine that with a second, can't you move up in the second rounder or the bottom of the first anyway? Like, I feel like now's a really good time for us to be using our picks. Again, you look at the Eagles and Howie Roseman, he flings his trade or his picks all over the place just to get any player to help his roster. And it's proven to be useful. So I feel like now's kind of the perfect time for us to be using our first to go get game changers, especially like a Myles Garrett.
It might make Detroit not be able to put together the best package to get Myles Garrett, right? It's because of where those picks are. But yes, you're right. You're right.
I don't mean us giving them a second and a fourth, but I mean us, you know, you throw in as many. Basically, you know, you're saying for the Khalil Mack, it was two firsts and a fourth and whatever. If you give those to him, and then whatever you have left over, Brad Holmes finds his talent in later rounds, and he's been good about that. But and he's shown the ability and the willingness to move up from later rounds. So it's like it seems like the exact right time for us to get rid of. I don't want to get rid of the 10th overall pick. That's you get a game changer with that. But at 28 or somewhere later in there, you're basically starting to slip into the second round and then the later rounds, and Holmes can find talent there. And I feel like
there's so many reasons to want to do this trade. It comes down to asking price, what it costs you off your own roster eventually because of cap issues. It comes down to whether or not Myles Garrett demands an extension from his new team. And if the asking price is reasonable, he doesn't want a new contract, and it might cost you one player, but maybe that's it. I mean, it becomes one of the biggest no-brainers of all time. Detroit would be very, very wise to explore this. And I suspect that they would. Ivory's in Redford and on 97 on the ticket. Hi, Ivory.
Hey, how you guys doing this morning?
Good, thank you.
I'm good. So first and foremost, of course, you would love to get Myles Garrett. Him on the opposite side of a healthy Hutch would be just dynamic for the defense. You know, all that is true. But the thing is, once you step away from the excitement or the initial excitement of the possibility, keyword possibility of trying to get him and think logically, if you want him, and if Brad Holmes and them want him, and I think this is one of the first things they think about when they're sitting down with Dan Campbell, and I think Dizner's like their financial guy and all those people. Okay, well, and this goes for fans too. If you want him, if we want him, who are we prepared to lose? Because if you look at the camp ramifications of their cap people, Goff, you know, having to pay Hutch, Kirby, Branch, after this year, after 25, once you start getting into 26, you look at their cap, and when certain things kick in and having to pay people.
Yeah, you'll have to lose a player more than likely, but, is that player going to be Myles Garrett?
No, I agree. I'm just saying, like, I would trade. There's only a few people I would kind of be like about if somebody asked for them. But I'm just saying, like, the reality is if you want him, okay, you have to be comfortable with losing maybe a Kirby or losing Kirby and or Jack Camp.
Yeah,
you know.
I mean, Ivory, there are costs down the road to this that add to the total price tag of getting him. You are correct.
It just depends on what they want. It just depends on the reality of what it's going to cost and what they ask for. That's really the thing. I would do it. I agree with you guys. They're not Myles Garrett. So I would do it. It just depends on what they ask for. That's just the bottom line of it. But I would love to do it because I've been screaming. I've been disappointed in them for the last few years of not putting more emphasis on getting on their pass rush and their defensive line. And once you got Hutch and knew what you had, knowing what you had to prepare for and elevating the things
the Lions with Myles Garrett added would be scary going into next year. Absolutely scary. I hope that they can pull this off. I hope that they're involved here. But you're right. The overall cost includes a cost that we wouldn't see on paper immediately. 248-539-9797. It's Carson Anderson. Champa Chump, get your votes in as we do it every Monday and post on our website who the people select as Champ and Chump of the weekend. 97.1 The Ticket. The FanDuel Kick of Destiny is happening on Sunday, and this time it's every Manning for himself. This Super Bowl, two legends will take the field in a sudden-death field goal showdown. Peyton versus Eli, live from New Orleans. One kick to claim the ultimate family bragging rights. Who will rise to the moment? Pick your winner now on the FanDuel app. And if you back the right brother, you will earn a share of $10 million in bonus bets. It's the FanDuel Kick of Destiny 3. Make your free pick, and don't forget to tune in and watch the showdown live during the Super Bowl 59 pregame show on Fox at 3 p.m. Eastern. May the best Manning win. Download the app or head to FanDuel.com/Doug and bet with FanDuel, the official partner of Super Bowl 59. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. No purchase necessary. Bonus issues and non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. Void where prohibited. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. You know, there's the actual tangible signing of Jack Flaherty and adding him to the rotation, which now with Scooble, Flaherty, Resolse, and Alex Cobb, and then, I mean, Job or Mize or whomever wins that fifth spot. I suspect it'll be Jackson Job. Gator, there's the tangible having him on the roster, which is a very measurable and good thing. Then there's the implications of signing Jack Flaherty. With the addition of Jack Flaherty, the Tigers have now added, by my count, $62.75 million of payroll this offseason. Just this offseason. They appear to have maybe a $30 million offer out there to Alex Bregman, an annual $30 million offer to Alex Bregman. So there's ramifications, the other things of a signing of Flaherty and the possibility of getting Alex Bregman as well. One is, if they add Bregman, that'll be a $92.75 million financial investment in one off season, if it indeed it's $30
million. Mm-hmm.
Two is, by adding Flaherty, this has a chance to go down as a fantastic trade for Scott Harris when he moved Flaherty for Trey Sweeney and Theron Lorenzo. This could be one of those, great signs that maybe this GM knows what he's doing. And this all could be a great sign that maybe ownership is proving and is taking the time to prove that they will spend the money. That's the other stuff that can be implied in all this.
Sure, sure. And in order to spend money, you have to have money. And clearly the Illich organization has money. Mm-hmm. But they've been reluctant until the team was good enough. But the message we've all been told is that when the team's good, they will spend. And they made the playoffs. So by definition, that's good. And they're starting to show it that they're going to spend. Can they spend more? Sure, they can spend more. But last season, the Tigers averaged just under 24,000 fans per game. That was 24th in Major League Baseball.
Mm-hmm.
So they need to get more people coming through the turnstiles. Do I expect them to approach 3 million like they had some of those great years? No. But can they be well over 2 million? Yeah. Last year was 1.858 million people came to Comerica Park. If that number gets up to like 2.3 or 2.5, somewhere in that range, which would be fantastic, then I think they're looking at, okay, we're making money here. This is money well spent, and they can continue to do so with revenue sharing and everything else that goes on in baseball. You know, with teams like the Dodgers spending like what they're spending, there's a cost to that, and it gets passed on to the rest of the league. The Tigers, what they're doing this offseason is showing that they are willing to use that money and spend it. So let's hope that, I hope they continue to do so. The Flaherty signing is certainly evidence of that. But to your point about, is this more attractive for Alex Bregman now? It should be. It shows there's a commitment, at least for the next year or two, because there's an out after 1 year for Flaherty. But this is a team that has a pretty deep pipeline when it comes to talent. And again, that's not major league level guys. These are minor league guys and are always prospects. You don't know what they are until they get here. But they're a pretty deep organization at this point. It's been a heck of a turnaround over the last 5 years or so. So it's an attractive spot, particularly when this is a playoff team that looks like now their pitching staff is much better than it was a year ago going into spring training. And that from an offensive standpoint, that this team is ready to take another jumping point as well to be better than what they were.
248-539-9797. Jay's in White Lake, and he's next. Hi, Jay.
Gentlemen.
What's up?
How are you?
Good, thank you.
Gator, Doug is my emotional support radio host. We haven't talked yet, but, he's been really helpful to me with the whole Patrick Mahomes thing. So I want to give you a champ and chump today. My chump, obviously, is the Dallas Mavericks, but my champ is Trent Yawney. And I don't think enough people are talking about this guy, yep. And I really believe that is why the Wings are having such a stellar performance the last, you know, obviously the road stretch, we're killing it. And, you know, when McClellan came on, everybody's saying, you know, coach bump, but you know, it's no coincidence that he immediately brought Trent Yawney on with him. And this guy, you know, all we got to do is watch what the defense is doing in these games. I really believe that our defense, you know, led by Trent Yawney, is what's turning this team around so fast.
Well, it is. And he's a guy that McClellan has brought with him to other organizations as well. And Trent Yawney talked about it over the weekend about how he's always kind of paired young defensemen with other young defensemen. Let's see what they do. And now you've got Johansson playing with Edvinson, and they look fantastic together.
Yeah, and even Gustafson. I mean, he's putting
Gustafson
in.
Looks great.
It seems as though what Yanni's done is he's taken our defensemen and put them on a slightly more aggressively offense mindset. I mean, they're. You saw it with Sherratt last night getting that goal. I think that our defense has become a lot more prolific with him. And nothing against McClellan. I mean, this change has been huge. But I don't think enough people are talking about the contribution that Trent Yawney has made. And it's exciting to watch. You know, they're splitting the center ice. They're pushing guys into the boards.
Well, it's all around. It's not just the offensive component from what the defensemen are doing, but it's defensively what they've done. And the goaltending has gotten better. And they've given up, I think it's 11 goals in the last seven games. I mean, that's important stuff.
Yeah. They're locking it down. It's exciting to watch, and it seems to have been kind of an immediate turnaround, which is so fun. And I think a lot of people are putting it strictly on McClellan's shoulders, but I just feel like Trent Yawney deserves a lot of this because it's definitely a defensive change.
Spent a ton of time, Jay, on Saturday's broadcast pointing out that the impact that Trent Yawney has made on this team, and saying that McClellan wasn't going to come here without him. So he is starting to get the recognition. I mean, it's sure McClellan would tell you it's a team effort, and that's a prime example. When you get to bring your guys,
the other morning.
And Yawney is clearly making an impact.
I think a lot of people are expecting a turnaround, like right now. I want wins right now, and Yzerman's starting to take a little bit of heat. But I really think Yzerman's on a kind of a slow burn, where he is trying to recreate a dynasty, like a 97-98 kind of thing, some mentality says, oh, go buy a bunch of expensive, you know, superstar offensive players and try and make a one-year run. But I really believe that Yzerman has the best interest of the city at heart, and I think he's really going for a solid long-term package. And I think guys like McClellan and Yawney are the guys that are going to do
that. Jay, thank you for the phone call. Is he... I don't know if I'd come anywhere close to comparing what he is doing to that, to be, you know, teams filled with Hall of Famers. But is he, and does he have the best interest of the city in mind? Of course he has the best interest of the city in mind. Of course he has a plan that we all hope can work. It's a question of whether or not it will work.
Well, certainly like direction. 14-4-1 since the coaching changes.
It has gotten better.
Awfully
it's gotten
impressive.
Better in a hurry. And on all fronts, like who would have ever imagined that the goaltending would look this good? I mean, the goaltending looks fantastic. They are, you know, getting contributions from other players now. And what is it? What did we say? 11 goals in the last seven games? Is that what it is they've allowed? And in the midst of all this, they've gone on the road. They've beaten some quality teams. They've played themselves back into the playoffs. Didn't they do this a couple of years ago? They got into the playoffs for like 5 minutes and then bounced out and faded quickly. Let's hope that it doesn't happen again, but they seem to be trending in a very, very good direction. 248-539-9797. It's Carson Anderson. Busy day. We'll recap all that has gone down, including Myles Garrett requesting a trade out of Cleveland. Brad Holmes calling Cleveland in 3-2-1. Not too fast. Don't sound too eager. Yeah, time it right. Sound relaxed, calm, and we might have some interest. Perhaps we can talk. All right, let's set up a meeting at the Super Bowl. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Interesting follow on the Myles Garrett story today is Diana Rossini, The Athletic. Gator, you read a tweet from her earlier, quoting an NFL GM on what a trade for Myles Garrett could look like. Quote, probably a one plus. Can't wait for the it'll be three number ones crowd. Not happening. A one and a two, a one and two threes, throw a player in there. Well, I hope this GM is right. The problem with this GM is, For the Lions, given where they sit in the draft, their one isn't as valuable as others' ones. So their next piece might be a second one. You know, if a team picking in the top 15 offer a first and a third, the Lions might have to offer two firsts or two firsts and a third to match a team that's got a top 15 pick. It's willing to move in, but, you know, because the price is not every one is created equal. But that is interesting. That GM thinks the price isn't going to be outlandish. She then tweets, this is all at this hour. Another GM texted, the Raiders should consider trading Myles Garrett to pair him up with Max Crosby. Whoever that GM is, I wonder why I thought of the Raiders pairing him up with an elite edge rusher instead of Detroit pairing him up with an edge rusher.
Well, because the Raiders just made a head coaching change. That's the new it team to talk about. Is that because they're top of mind? I don't know.
I wouldn't imagine that the Raiders would be any more attractive a place. In fact, I think the Raiders would be a less attractive place for Myles Garrett to go. But next one from an NFL executive. Again, Diana Rossini putting this out there. Buckle up. This isn't going to be a clean/easy breakup between the Browns and Myles Garrett. As one NFL executive put it, it's going to be a wild few weeks. And then moments ago, she tweets, while Myles Garrett's public trade request is the story of the week already, it wasn't a surprise to the Cleveland Browns. They've known about this request for some time. When did their GM say they weren't trading Myles Garrett?
Last week, like the 30th.
So is it safe to assume that he made that comment knowing that Myles Garrett had requested a trade?
It's possible.
Yeah. So did he say that because he was setting the table for getting the best offer, or did he say it because he means it? I guess you don't know unless you call Brad Holmes. Again, jump on this. Not too fast. But jump on it.
But don't let it slip either.
Yeah, don't be late to the party here. You don't want to be the first other GM that calls. You be like the fifth. And you don't come in hot. You come in asking to meet up for a beer in New Orleans at the Super Bowl.
That's right. How about a hurricane?
248-539-9797. We got that. We got a Jack Flaherty trade, or a signing rather, by the Tigers. We haven't even gotten into the contract. What do you make of this contract? They pay him $25 million this season and $10 million for next season. He has an opt-out for 2026. The only way he plays on that opt-out is if he has a bad 2025, right?
Correct.
So the second year is almost a moot point.
Is it possible to do the same thing they did this last year?
It's totally possible.
You get to the trade deadline. Team's actually playing well. You've got, you know, if you wanted to improve yourself, you could trade him again.
Well, that part I'm not sure. What you just said, if the team's playing well, I think it's less possible.
Well, I'm sure it is less likely. I'm just saying but it would still be a possibility. Is it possible that, you know, other starting pitchers in this rotation have taken a step up? That Reese Olson gets back to what he was when Reese Olson was really, really, really good. Scooble is Scooble. You know, Alex Cobb has been reborn here, or maybe Alex Cobb's the guy that ends up getting, you know, traded. But just the point is that it would be kind of funny if it works out exactly the same way last year and they get more assets out of it.
It would seem to me that The only way they trade Jack Flaherty is if they're not playing well and he's pitching good. Because I think this offseason, and they added $63 million now in payroll with a potential for that to push $90 million with Bregman, it seems to me like the mentality of the organization has changed. Last year, even though they won in the end, in terms of got to the wild card, won a round of the playoffs, the mentality of the organization was we're playing for the future. It feels like the future is now. Now, that doesn't mean they're set up and I think of them as some sort of favorite or something here. It just means, doesn't it seem like the Tigers are trying to win now? And so they'd be less likely to make this move unless they've sort of faded out of it.
Yeah, I'm just saying, anything can happen. When you get to the trade deadline, you look at players, the positions of need on your team, and sometimes to get something, you got to give something. Maybe it works out or maybe not, whatever. There's tons of flexibility with it. And this is one of these contracts that you and I talk about all the time. You front load the first year of the deal. Everything else seems easy.
There's also a stipulation regarding he has to start 15 games this year for him to be able to say no to the second year of the contract. So
fair enough.
Yep.
I mean, I think he started 28 last year. So
seems probable.
Yeah.
See, the only thing
there's a little protection in there.
Yeah, it's just if there's an injury. 248-539-9797. Alex Bregman's still out there. He is, a guy that would definitely help him in the short term, and they seem to be thinking a little bit more short term at this point. We await a decision here as Bregman Watch continues. All right, Gator. Let's get into this Red Wing team a little bit. We had the call about the addition and the help, what Trent Yanni's provided. But the reality is they've got themselves in a playoff spot. Can they hang on to it? Can they hang on to it moving forward? There are so many teams in the mix, but the sample size keeps getting bigger and bigger from a standpoint of what we're seeing under McClellan, which means it gets more and more credible. 6 win in a row, overtime Vancouver last night, 14-4-1 since he took over. They're looking pretty damn for real at this point.
They look inspired. They look like they're fully engaged. They're having fun out there. And, before they looked like they were just going through the motions. Like, oh, God, how long is this season? And, now it's a can't wait to get on the ice type of thing. Hey, who's going to score tonight? Hey, let's get out there, everybody. Have a good shift. Elmer Soderblom has looked amazing in the last handful of games. Like he gets his opportunity to play here, and he's a guy who I think he's on a little bit of a point game streak, if I'm not mistaken. But it's modest, but it's a type of player that we're hoping pans out. I mean, you don't find guys that are 6'8", 6'9", that are willing to play hockey in the first place. So you get a guy with that kind of size and to have the ability to shoot and pass with the soft hands that he has is great. What he doesn't, he's not a mean streak kind of guy, but it's nonetheless, it's a big player that you like to see and taking advantage. Marco Kasper, taking advantage. Albert Johansson, taking advantage. This is great.
As we approach a trade deadline in the NHL, there are only 9 teams in the league with more cap space than the Red Wings. Now, they don't have a ton of cap space, but they got some cap space. They could make a smart, they're not going to probably with that make a huge addition, but they could make a smart lesser addition to help this team win now. And they feel like they'd be motivated to do so more than any other league. It feels like it's a just get in kind of postseason. So can they do something to solidify a spot in the playoffs? Certainly. And I would suspect that they are more inclined to be buyers than sellers for the first time in a while.
Yeah, I mean, were they 52 games into the season or whatever it is, 50-something games in, and, okay, you got this sprint of 30 games left in the year, but you're getting a little break here coming up with the Four Nations play, and it's knowing that they've got not just a wild card spot, but right now they're in the top wild card spot, and they're also just a point back of having the third place spot in the division. And the second place spot isn't that far ahead either. I think they're only 5 points out of that. They're playing hockey better than anybody else in the NHL since Tom McClellan took over. That's exciting. That's damned exciting.
248-539-9797. Coming up today at 1 o'clock, Gator, I've got something for you and for Kang.
Oh, thank you. I didn't get you anything. Oh, yeah, I want to try that. Yeah.
You're excited, Gator?
Yeah, I'd like to try it.
Okay.
Something that I mentioned last week. We'll try it on the air live at 102.
We're going to do it live.
Do it live. Coming up today at 102. Stay tuned. You might want to be on Twitch and YouTube to watch. That is in the 1 o'clock hour. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Doug Harsh, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. A lot of feedback coming in on the Myles Garrett demanding a trade out of Cleveland, which is crazy. Absolutely crazy, and certainly does add to the interest of this offseason. From an unnamed texter, the draft picks aren't the problem, the money is. We won't be able to afford him and Hutch and everybody else. Probably not, eventually. I mean, it's going to cost you. There's a little bit of going all in right now, and it doesn't feel like a Brad Holmes kind of move, but I think one of the things that makes the best is an ability to be flexible and build in a variety of ways.
And he's right. You can't afford them all, but it doesn't mean you don't want them and that you have to make a tough decision. Okay, I can't have these five players, but I can have four of the five. Somebody's the odd man out. And if you're talking about having the ability to put Myles Garrett on this defense, I'm sorry. I don't have a problem of saying goodbye to player X, who has done a great job here, and you'll be very you're very glad that he played as well as he did, but I'm sorry. The possibility of adding this guy to the team is just too good to pass up. You have to give something to get something.
I'm a little bit more concerned about the price than you are. And I'd like to see what that exact price short-term and long-term is. Short-term is what you'd have to give up to get him from Cleveland. What would be the trade? Long-term would be, does it cost you just one player? Does it cost you more? And who exactly those players are? We've given a bunch of guys whose contracts are going to be renewed in the near future, you think are going to be renewed. But I'd like to see that price before I'm 100% convinced.
Well, let's say, for instance, that you know that – and again, I like Kirby Joseph a lot. I don't know why I feel like I'm picking on him, but I'm not. Well, it's just a name to come up because he'll have a contract coming up in another 2 years, right? Or after next year, they have to make a decision on him. So let's say for the sake of argument that to make the deal better for Cleveland, you're offering a first-round pick, Kirby Joseph, and a third-round pick.
So
that way you hang on to – you're not giving up the two first-round picks. You know you're going to have to lose a player eventually at some point, so why not offer up the player in addition to less draft capital?
Yeah. I'd like to see the numbers and make sure that they'd still have enough money to bring Carlton Davis back, because I don't want to lose Carlton Davis and Kirby Joseph in one offseason out of the secondary. That sounds like then you're getting pretty thin back there. And if the addition of Myles Garrett means you can't afford Carlton Davis or a player of that ilk, that you'd have to downgrade a corner, you'd have to lose Kirby Joseph. And I would have some concerns about that, but I'd like to know exactly what that would do to their cap situation, but I wouldn't hate that.
Yeah, I mean, you got to look at everything. I'm sure which Brad Holmes and his team do, right? It's, hey, is it worth, you know, cutting some guys or losing some guys in the secondary when you know you're getting Hutch back? Like, do you need Myles Garrett opposite Hutch? Or is this overkill, right? The contract issue is a big issue. I think Myles Garrett is trying to get a new deal. This may be a way of forcing Cleveland to get him a new deal. Who knows? Or if it's with a new team. You can't forget that you do have Za'Darius Smith on this team for one more year. Hutch is going to be, you know, everything points to him being healthy next year. So do you need secondary more, or do you need a guy, a defensive player of the year in every year type player like Myles Garrett? I think all these things, they have to weigh.
248-539-9797. Let's get back to your open line calls. We go to Tony in Madison Heights. You're next. Hi, Tony.
Hi, guys. This is on the Red Wings. So we all know, don't fix it if it's not broken. But what if it's broken and you fix it And then you got a couple extra pieces, and the biggest piece is Petrie. I mean, what do we do with Petrie? I mean, I like the guy. I mean,
well, Petrie is hurt.
I don't want him to play for Detroit.
He's hurt, you know? And it sounds like he's not going to be available till much later in the season. Like the reports that he's had surgery.
I have a conspiracy theory that says, you know, they're just kind of letting it go, and you know,
I don't know. You can believe it. I'm not a conspiracy theory guy, so I'll trust the reports that are coming out that he's hurt and going to be out for a while.
Okay, well then I guess that's it. What about a couple other guys though? You anybody there that? I mean, I hate when the other guys are not producing, and then the young guys come out, and then they show that they should stay. They're going to end up going back down again.
Like who?
Oh, number 11. I forget his name.
Tarasenko?
We just got. Yeah, there you go.
Well, he's playing.
I mean, do you notice? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's taking up a spot that we thought more production was going to come.
Okay, and what like young player is he blocking?
The couple that are just out lately.
Huh?
You know, just to give them a chance.
Who?
I see your point.
Yeah.
No, it was mainly Petrie that I was worried about.
All right, cool. Look, they're managing to get by with their current roster. If you're talking about in the offseason, I mean, Tarasenko's under contract for next year. Maybe they eat the money, try and move him.
Or maybe he steps his game up.
That would be great.
He's been better, but he hasn't been, like, he hasn't taken this giant leap forward like Casper has.
I had somebody in the league tell me they had no idea what the Red Wings were doing with Tarasenko and don't understand it. And, you know, I kind of felt like that's been proven to be true all along. But this is not my biggest concern right now. They're playing well. You worry about that later. Just keep doing your thing. 248-539-9797. Let's go to Nick in Canton. Hi, Nick.
Hey, guys. So on this Miles Garrett stuff, you know, my gears are turning. And if you're going to trade from the Lions, you trade from a strength. And clearly the strength is the offense. And clearly you have Jameson Williams, who's up for a fifth-year option. You don't know if he's going to get signed long-term. He's a pretty good asset to move for somebody like Miles Garrett. And I think he's easily replaceable. You can always pick up somebody with speed in the draft in the second or third round. I feel like him with a first-round pick might get it done.
Well, guys that get 1,000 yards receiving don't fall off trees.
Yeah, I mean,
he's been very good. He is a speed guy. But, no, that's a player that's an example of somebody that you could move if you're trying to land Miles Garrett, because that's somebody that, again, you have to consider how much money is – I mean, are we going to bring him back after a fifth year? Are you going to give him a second contract?
If part of the premise is that Jameson Williams is easily replaceable, then we have a fundamental disagreement. Yeah. I would disagree with that.
But if he's talking about dealing with positions of strength, I understand that part.
But can I also add that Jameson Williams comes with a little bit of a bozo factor? Like, he's kind of a wild card, and he's showing some immaturity. So, I mean, you know, he's put the team behind with his suspensions and, you know, even his, you know, celebrations. You know, he comes with that part, too.
I don't know. I mean, look, that's part of what you get with him. You hope he becomes more mature as he gets older, and I think he will, but...
I did.
You know, getting suspended in the long run, did it hurt the team? Even in the short run, did it hurt the team?
You can make the case that it did, but, you know, those things... I don't expect that stuff to keep happening. If they have feedback that they don't believe that he is ever going to grow up, I could see it happening. But I'm not in a position to really to go there yet. I'm too inclined to think that the player is going to grow up a little bit and that you'll see less taunting or personal fouls or anything like that. My opinion. 248-539-9797. All right, Gator. Last week I mentioned that I love the Blue Diamond Elote Mexican style street corn flavored almonds. They got mixed reviews from the listeners. I bought a new tin. I brought it in for you and Kang to try. Kenny as well. I want to get your 2 cents. We're going to do a taste test live on the air at 102. If you want to watch, go to youtube.com or twitch.tv. It is Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket.